Paul Ramel here for Q92 Radio. Of course, it's Severe Weather Awareness Week, and we've been chatting with, county emergency managers, countryside public health officials, and some meteorologists. And right now, on the phone with us is Ray Miller. Ray is with Weatherology, and you hear Weatherology, our weather reports here on Q92, 24/7, top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. You'll hear these people. You hear familiar names like Paul Trumley, Jennifer Wojcicki, Nick Carlisle, and Ray Miller. Ray, thanks for joining us here on Severe Weather Awareness Week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So how long have you been with Weatherology, Ray?
I just had my work anniversary yesterday, appropriately enough, on April Fool's Day, and starting my 18th year now, so it's been a minute.
Oh, nice. Okay, great. Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little about yourself, Ray, where you grew up, your background, sure. Your education and stuff.
Yeah, I grew up mainly in Wichita, Kansas, spent a couple of years living in South Carolina as well, so we moved around a little bit, but mainly in Kansas. Went to the University of Kansas for college, got my degree in meteorology. Officially, they call it atmospheric science, but same thing. And it was just when you grow up in Kansas, it's hard not to pay attention to the weather. So from a real early age, I was intrigued with severe storms and tornadoes, and now that's I basically made that my career.
All right, awesome. My son actually lives in Wichita, and so we get down there once in a while, and weather's a little different down in Kansas than up in Minnesota sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit less snow to deal with, although they've had their fair share this winter, but generally not nearly as intense as ours are in terms of the winter, but then they get considerably more of the tornado activity than we do, so that's sure. The trade-off, I guess.
What is considered Tornado Alley down there? What states and stuff, roughly?
Generally, it's from Texas up through Oklahoma and into southern Nebraska. That's really the bullseye of Tornado Alley, although it is shifting. As the climate starts to change a little bit, we're seeing it creeping a little further north. We're seeing it creep a little further east. So we're starting to see particularly parts of Iowa and southern Minnesota have a little bit higher frequency of tornadoes and a little bit more intense tornadoes than what we used to see on average.
Okay. Ray, when you're growing up, what got you interested in the weather? I mean, was there a specific moment in your life where you said, you know, I want to look into this and do this the rest of my life?
I was always into it just from a very young age. I was just fascinated with rain and clouds and everything. But I think the two big ones were in 1990. There was an F5 tornado that passed just north of our town. And then in 91, the big Andover, Kansas tornado, the very large F5 tornado, passed just south and east of our house. So there were two big instances when I was 8 and 9 years old, and that's the formative years. And I think if you talk to a lot of meteorologists, almost to a person, they'll tell you that they had some sort of formative experience around that age. There was either a tornado or a flood or a blizzard or something that really got them interested. So for me, it was those two tornado events.
Okay. Have you ever seen a tornado in your lifetime?
I have. Yeah. I have. I did a fair bit of tornado chasing during college and managed to have a few successful chases, not as many as I would have liked, but a few.
So you were a storm chaser, huh?
I was. Well, not so much now. I tend to think of it now as being armchair storm chasing.
Okay. All right, great. Tell us a little bit about we hear your weather reports, like I mentioned, 24/7 here on Q92. Tell us a little bit about Weatherology, how it got started, and where you guys are located, and how Weatherology works.
Well, it was started by Steve Wollenhaus, who continues to run the company. He's not on air as much anymore, but he's still the big boss in charge of everything. And we have a staff of 13 meteorologists. We're staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, weekend, holidays. We always have somebody here watching the weather, updating the forecasts, and recording the forecast to send out to play on the air.
Okay. And so how many states do you cover then? You don't cover all the United States, do you?
We do at this point. We are completely national, and we're almost international. We have a station in American Samoa now, so that's about as far as you can get without leaving the country. So, yeah, we're... We do have a couple of stations that reach into Canada. We don't have any Canadian-based stations, so we're sort of international in that sense, but we are definitely national. We cover pretty much every state.
So how do you cover that nationally, and where are you based out of, and how do you cover that? All through computers, I would guess, and technology?
That's right. We're based in the Twin Cities. Everyone now more or less works out of home studios that are connected into our computer systems remotely. But yeah, it's all over computers, and we have the ability to look at satellite data from anywhere, radar data from anywhere in the country, and pretty much if the National Weather Service can look at it, we can look at it. We have a great deal of data that we look at. We can look at all the computer models for making our forecast and refining our forecast. So yeah, as you mentioned, it's a lot of technology at our fingertips. It makes the job manageable.
To take our listeners through an example here, let's say there's a weather warning here in Lacaparle County or Chippewa County, Swift County here out in western Minnesota here. So what are you looking at on your computer? How does that work? How do you get the information to our air?
We have a couple ways of getting the information first. Our radar software that we use tracks all the warnings and displays them on the screen while we're looking at it. So that's usually our first indication. We have a second system that looks at all the warnings and keeps track of all our radio stations and cross-references them. So the system sees a warning for Lacaparle County. Every radio station that covers Lacaparle County will then pop up on our screen with a number to contact. Who do we need to talk to? Who do we need to advise that this warning has been issued? And then we start doing the live updates. We also send out updates over the same audio system that we send the forecasts over. Some stations do that. Some stations take phone updates. It's all up to each individual station. But we have software that manages everything, tells us who we need to be talking to, and keeps us apprised of what the storms are doing.
That's right. Maynard is usually on the air when there's bad weather here on Q92, and we do the software thing through the computer the same way we get the weather, and we always have you guys on constantly, more or less, during severe weather here in the Madison area. So, yeah, that's interesting how that works. So you cover that for every state, huh? Let's say there's something going on in Texas. So how does that work then, the same way?
Exactly the same way.
Okay.
We let the stations know, and they get an alert, and they know to look for that warning that we're sending out and get it on the air as quickly as possible. So every station has pretty much the same routine. There's some small technical exceptions here and there, but for the most part, nationwide, we do it the same way.
Okay. Well, of course, it's Severe Weather Awareness Week, and today is focusing on floods, and tomorrow is the tornado drill day. And talk a little bit about flooding here, Ray. Don't get that much in our area, but a few rivers and stuff like that. But what should we know about floods today?
You know, we don't get so much the seasonal floods like they do, for example, along the Red River of the North and that sort of thing. But we do get flash flooding during the summertime when we have those intense thunderstorms that produce heavy rain in a very short period of time. And in fact, flooding actually kills more people every year than tornadoes do. And so it tends to be underestimated a little bit. We don't talk about it as much. We don't focus on it as much. But flooding really can be a very dangerous situation. People tend to underestimate it. And the vast majority of people who do lose their lives in flooding lose them in their vehicles and at night. Those are the two factors that really contribute to flash flooding being so dangerous because you can't see how deep the water is that's over a roadway. You try to cross, and next thing you know, you're underwater. It's just an extremely dangerous situation. So when those flash flood warnings come out, it's really important for folks to take them seriously, particularly if you're out and about in a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't realize that costs more lives than tornadoes. That's interesting. Talk about tornado drill day tomorrow, Thursday, April 11th, two times, 1:45 and 6:45, it looks like.
Right, and the Weather Service will be issuing a test tornado warning at each of those times. It's up to each county to determine whether they're going to turn their sirens on or not. I think most of them do it at the 1:45 time, and then individual counties kind of pick and choose whether to do the 6:45 in the evening or not. But the idea behind having two is that you have two situations to practice. The first, in the afternoon, think about where you would go when you're at work or at school or you know, out shopping or anywhere out in public, where would you go to seek shelter if a tornado warning was issued at that time? And then in the evening, you can think about where you would seek shelter in your home. Talk to your kids about where to go if a tornado warning is issued, and the safety tips to follow. So the two different times really sort of to get you in two different mindsets. Where do I go to shelter if I'm at work or in a public place? And then in the evening, think about where you would go when you're at home.
Okay. Well, if you're just tuning in, Severe Weather Awareness Week, we're visiting with Ray Miller from Weatherology. Ray, I didn't ask you what your title was at Weatherology.
If you want to be really technical about it, it is Managing Meteorologist for Severe Weather Operations, but usually I just introduce myself as Meteorologist. It's much simpler that way.
Okay. So you're managing. So you manage the other, what did you say, 13, 17 employees or what?
I handle, when we talked about the software and notifying stations and that sort of thing, I oversee a good portion of that. And then when we bring someone new on, I sort of train them on how to use those systems, how to work our radar software, because it's a little different than some of the other software that's out there, and just kind of training and managing responsibilities in addition to doing the updates and being on air.
Okay. All right. I have another question for you, Ray, about changes that you have seen since you've graduated from college or you're in the workforce there. What kind of changes have you seen?
Well, we've seen a couple of major changes. First of all, the computer models that we use to make the daily forecasts have improved dramatically. And when we talk about improvements there, they have higher resolution now. You know, you talk about the resolution on your TV or your computer monitor. The computer models are the same way. When they have higher resolution, there's more data that they're looking at. There's more information that they're running these complex math equations on to give us a prediction. Those have gotten a lot better. And then secondly, we've had vast improvements in radar technology. Just in the last couple of years, the Weather Service has rolled out what they call dual polarization radar. And that's just a fancy term for saying what we're basically doing is sending out two radar beams instead of one. And what that allows us to do is see not just how much precipitation is falling at any point, but the shape of it. And then that tells us, are we looking at raindrops? Are we looking at hail? It makes it much easier to determine where hail is falling within a thunderstorm, makes it much easier to determine how large that hail is. So our warning accuracy in terms of hail size has gotten much better. And that radar is so sensitive now, it can actually tell the difference between precipitation, insects, birds, any kind of biological return that it's seeing.
Wow.
And in some cases, we can even determine that a tornado is on the ground without spotters reporting it, because the radar now is sophisticated enough that it can tell that it's looking at debris as opposed to precipitation. Now, we never like to see that situation, because that usually means it's a fairly intense tornado if it's lifting the debris high enough for the radar to see it. But we've had several instances where the Weather Service has been able to say, this is a tornado that is on the ground, which, of course, tends to motivate people to move to shelter a little more quickly. They've been able to say that just based off the radar because they're seeing those returns.
Amazing. That's amazing. Wow. Ray, what do you like about working for Weatherology? What do you like about your job?
Sure. You know, it's nice to be able to do a job that you've been interested in since you were a kid. You know, you have some kids who will say, oh, I want to be a doctor, or a firefighter, or whatever. For me, you know, from when I was five or six, meteorologist was one of the jobs on the list, and I get to do it every day. So that for me is just fantastic. That's the first part. And then secondly, it's just no day is alike. Every day I'm dealing with a new type of weather. It's different. It's always changing. There's always a challenge. It never gets easy, and I like that.
Wow. Well, Ray, I really appreciate you taking the time and visiting with us here on Q92 during Severe Weather Awareness Week. You guys do a fantastic job of keeping everyone informed when bad weather comes around. So, kind of a strange winter this year, too, right?
It really has been. And, there's some concern that may mean a somewhat stormier spring and summer. We'll have to see how that evolves.
Oh, but, really?
Okay. I said it was never easy. This winter was at least a little bit easy in terms of snowfall potential and predicting, because that's usually the hardest part of the job is predicting snow.
Yeah.
Didn't have to do that a lot
this
year. Nope,
didn't have to do that this year. last year you did.
Right, yeah. And this past week I had to. But other than that, yeah, not a lot of strong winter storm systems this year.
All right. Ray, thanks a lot for taking the time with us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
Ray Miller with Weatherology, and that's another interview here on Q92 during Severe Weather Awareness Week.